Stop press! We stop the roar of the mighty presses to invite you to meet the members of the Weekly Bind newspaper. The members of its staff are Richard Murdoch, Kenneth Horne, Sam Coster, Morris Denham, Dora Bryan, the BBC Men's Chorus, Chorus Master Leslie Woodgate, and the BBC Variety Orchestra, conducted by Paul Fenelay.
Yes, but will he? Yeah, but don't... Yes. Well, you've no need to worry at all, Uncle Charlie. I'm seeing the solicitors about the deeds and hereditaments. Oh, it's just a word I picked up. I've no idea. Yes, I'm going to interview applicants for staff, and I'm hoping that... good morning, sir. It is good to see you.
Good morning, Murdoch.
Just a minute, sir. I'm on the phone. Do sit down, will you? No, not you, Uncle Charlie. Mr. Horne's just come in and... No, sir, not on that chair. It's not very...
Don't worry about me, Murdoch. You just...
Going to, sir. You try that chair.
Thank you, Murdoch. It'd be nice to get the weight off my...
Oh! So sorry, sir. That's the chair that's not very... It's got a weak leg. No, not you, Uncle Charlie. I'm afraid we'll have to get a new chair. Because...
Oh!
Two new chairs. Anyhow, you haven't anything to worry about, Uncle Charlie. Before long, the news in our paper will be so hot that the fish and chip shops will be using it instead of deep fat. Goodbye. Oh, sir, but it is good to see you.
Now, what is all this about, Murdoch? All I know is I got a message to the club asking me to meet you in Fleet Street at Jerry Buildings. Who is Jerry and why did he go around building things?
I've no time to explain about that now, sir. Are you ready for a shock?
Oh, thank you, Murdoch. Not too much.
No, sir, no, listen. I've been left a paper.
Oh, there's nothing in that. Bessie and I left one every day. Chap comes along in his bicycle and sort of pushes it under...
No, sir, not that sort of left. It's been bequeathed to me.
Be what, Murdoch?
Bequeathed, sir. It's K-W-E-E.
Good heavens, in perpetuity?
No, it's in a shocking state. You see, sir, Uncle Charlie was very old-fashioned and he wouldn't move at the time.
No advertising, Murdoch?
No, sir, no. Not a rival paper, anyway. Now, sir, I've promised to get the old place going again so that Fleet Street will once again hold my uncle's name in respect.
Quite right, too. I'm sure his name is one which should be respected. What is it, by the way?
Stickle crumpets.
Oh.
Come in.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm from Rumble, Fine and Early, solicitors. We had an appointment. I'm afraid I'm early.
Oh, how are you, Mr. Early?
No. No, I'm not early. I'm fine.
Splendid, so am I. And this is Mr. Horne.
How do you know?
How do you do? Tell me, fine, the Rumble in your firm, an unusual name. Would that be Meredith Rumble, used to be in the Guards?
No, Gladys Rumble, used to be in the Chorus.
Oh.
Now then, your uncle has assigned to you the goodwill of the business recently owned by him to fit a newspaper and printing press, at present known as Stickle Crumpets Weekly.
I don't want the papers fallen on lean times with a name like Stickle Crumpets Weekly.
Charlie Stickle Crumpet wasn't Uncle Charlie's real name. He had it changed to that by deed poll.
What was his real name?
You think I'm going to say Harry Stickle Crumpet, don't you?
I'm thinking you are and hoping you won't.
What was it? I won't. His name was Stale, and he changed the name of the paper to Stickle Crumpets Weekly.
What was it before?
The Stale News.
Murdoch, isn't there somebody going...
I think it's Mr...
Fine.
Spinnett.
I've detailed here for your signature the relative extracts from the deed of assignment appertaining to the appurtenances that appertain thereto.
Oh, that'll be very appertaining, won't it, sir?
Yes. Oh, Murdoch, I think I ought to look into this first, because you mustn't put your signature in anything you don't understand.
No.
I've had so much experience of legal transactions of this type, I'm quite willing to give you the benefit of my knowledge.
Oh, thank you, sir. That is a weight off my mind.
Yes, right. Now, let's have a look. Well, there's, there's something I wouldn't countenance to start with, Murdoch. What's the meaning of this, Mr. Fine?
Oh, that's the date.
Oh. Oh, well, let it pass this time, but don't let it become a habit.
You'll notice, Mr. Horne, that the assignee of the first part, being the guarantors in loco parentis, have jurisprudence in tort and have power of legal foreclosure in the event of habeas corpus.
Yeah, probably due to this wet weather, I think.
Then again, the ad hoc status of the beneficiaries will be in direct juxtaposition to the emoluments thereby accruing to the sub-lessors.
Yeah, hear that, Murdoch?
Yes, sir.
That's splendid news, isn't it?
Oh, yes, sir. You know what I say to that, don't you?
What?
I I'll just read you the contractual clauses to which I shall want you to append your signature.
Please do. I can't wait.
Well, you'll have to. This indenture is made the 31st day of July 1953 between Charlie Stickle Company of Blope in the county of Clanks, retired hereafter called the Old Undertaker, the one part, and Richard Murdoch of Much Binding in the Marsh, a gentleman, gentleman, hereafter called the New Undertaker of the other part. The Old Undertaker has for many years now parts carried on or purported to carry on the undertaking known as Stickle Company's Weekly. And whereas for divers good considerations, the Old Undertaker is desirous of assigning the said undertaking to the U1 Undertaker. That the Old Undertaker as beneficial owner hereby assigns under the new undertaker all of this singular, the said undertaking, together with the messuages, tenements, and hereditaments, corporeal or incorporeal, or in or under which the same has heretofore been carried on, in witness whereof the parties hereto, etc., etc. Sign here, please.
Oh, I couldn't sign that.
Why not?
Well, it might get into the hands of children.
Don't be silly, Murdoch. Their hands aren't big enough.
Well, if you'll leave the document with us, Mr. Fine, we'll have a jolly good look at it, and we'll see you tomorrow.
I can't manage tomorrow.
Well, what about your partners, Mr. Early and Mr. Rumble?
Mr. Early is no longer with us. I'm afraid he's the late Mr. Early.
And Mr. Rumble?
I'll send Mr. Rumble. He's a sound man.
Fine. Then we'll be hearing from Mr. Rumble in the morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we're going to publish a newspaper, eh? What are you going to call it, Murdoch?
Well, sir, I must confess, I've got a fancy for the Daily Woman.
Yes, but what are you going to call the paper? You must have something to catch the eye.
Catch the eye. Well, how about the Umbrella Spook?
No.
No, no. Or shall we go back to our old love and call it the Weekly Bind?
Good idea. The Weekly Bind it is. Now, about staff.
I'm glad you were going to ask me that, sir. Excuse me, sir. Now, this reminds me, excuse me...
A switchboard.
Morning, Miss Klingbein. How are you this morning?
Oh, me. I feel on top of the world, as Atlas might say.
No, no, Miss Klingbein. Atlas had the world on his shoulders. The world was on top of him.
Oh, where we hide? What can I do you for?
Well, I'm expecting a few applicants for jobs. Send them in when they arrive, will you?
I'll do that very thing. Should you arrive, dear
sir. No, sir. You were asking about staff.
Yes,
apart from one very old printer, there's no one left from the old paper, so I've advertised.
And the staff you take on, will they be permanent?
Well, I thought I'd follow the lead of the MCC.
The MCC?
Yes, I'll ask if they'll agree to a 6-day test.
Ah, very topical.
That's about all. Incidentally, sir, I was rather hoping that you would take over the financial column.
Under my own name or my pen name?
What is your pen name?
Well, when I was writing the financial column for the Thread Needlewoman, I used to call myself Hornucopia.
Hornucopia it must be. Come in.
Good morning, sir. I've seen your advertisement and I'd like Custer. Good morning.
Custer, come back at once. Why did you rush out like that?
Well, I saw an advertisement for a newspaper man and it read, good position, good prospects and good wages. Now I've seen who it's for. All I can say is, good afternoon.
Custer, don't be silly.
Come back, Custer.
Well, if you insist, I can just spare you a loose 5 minutes.
That's better. Now, Custer, tell us what you've been doing.
Well, I've done a variety of jobs. I was potman at the Coach and Horses. Then I was a page at the Abbey.
Good heavens, for the coronation.
No, at the Abbey Hotel, Battersea. Then I was senior English master at Eton College, but they got rid of me after a brief spell.
Why was that?
I spelled it B-R-E-E-F.
Oh, that's bad. Like, what did you do then?
Well, the President of France asked me to try and make a cabinet, but the handles kept falling off. Then I climbed Everest one afternoon, and then I designed a car that lapped 200 miles an hour at Silverstone, running on lime juice and marinated sardine oil.
Costa.
All right, so I'm a liar.
You still living at Croydon's, between Croydon and Penge?
No, we've moved. We're living at Chutney now.
Where's that, between Chiswick and Putney?
No, just outside Stoke Newington.
Well, now, Costa, here's the setup. Mr. Murdoch's been left a paper.
Well, Emily and I left one every day. A bloke comes along on his bike and just...
Costa, we've done all that. And much better, too. Oh. We're going to print a newspaper. Now, when you start working for us...
Who said I'm going to work for you?
We did.
Oh, well, that's different.
What sort of a job would you like to do?
Well, I'd like to be a bathing beauty competition photographer.
Oh, Murdoch, you did promise me...
Never mind, sir. You can do the touching up. Come in. Oh, it's the printer, Mr. Bubble.
Mr. who, Murdoch?
We call him Mr. Bubble, sir. He's the old printer I was telling you about.
Why do you call him Bubble?
You'll find out. Morning, Mr. Bubble. What can I do for you?
Morning, sir. Miss Klimbine says there's a girl waiting to see you.
Oh, really? Has she come for a job?
Well, I think it's probable.
What's she like?
Well, she looks quite passable.
See what I mean? By the way, this is Mr. Costa. You two will be working together.
Oh, well, that'll be very enjoyable. I'm sure Mr. Costa will find me quite amenable.
Splendid. Hear that, Costa?
Yes, you can knock me down with a feather bubble.
Well, send her in, Mr. Bubble, and take Mr. Costa and show him your printing press.
Oh, very good, sir.
Hey, what's this press of yours like, Mr. Bubble?
Oh, you wait till you see it. It's indescribable. Mind you, it's very hard to work.
Oh, that won't worry me. I'm indefatigable.
Murdoch, this girl is waiting to see you. What sort of job will she be looking for?
I advertise for a sort of receptionist come typist come...
Lasses and lads?
No, sir, no. Come in.
Oh, I see.
Good morning. You must be Mr. Murdoch. Well, I saw your ad in the Situations Rack, and it said you were looking for someone to do some typing. So I said to my friend Iris, we didn't go on that secretarial course for nothing, I said. Here's a chance to sharp my shorthand, I said. And she said, your hands don't look any shorter than the next person's. Oh, she's a real scream, is Iris, when she gets going.
Yes.
So if you wanted me to start Monday, I don't mind, because I've given you my notice at the laundry. But it all boils down to the question of wages.
Wonder if this weather's got anything to do with the atom bomb.
Well, now, Miss
Plum, Gladys Plum.
Oh, yes.
Plum, that's an unusual name. I once knew a Lieutenant Colonel. No, I'm wrong. His name was Dedrington. I'm sorry.
Well, don't apologize, sir. It was most interesting and quite a coincidence.
Thank you.
Perhaps you'd like to handle Miss Plum's salary.
Yes, it might be very useful.
No,
oh, I see what you mean. And now, Miss Plum, what did you get at your last place?
4.15.
Yes, I often used to catch that train.
No, she means £4.15 a week. Let's see, how much is that a year?
Well, it's 4.15, 9.52. That's let's make it £5. All right, Murdoch?
All right.
All right, Miss Plum?
All right.
All right.
Well, now then, Murdoch, Miss Plum would probably like to look round.
Look who's talking.
Murdoch.
Now, Miss Plum, if you'd like to go along to room 15, you'll find Mr. Costa there, and he'll be only too pleased to take you in hand and show you the sort of thing you're in for.
Well, that would be very nice, and I'm sure I should give you every satisfaction. And you'll find that I should be here on the dot, 9 o'clock Monday, because punctuality is my second name, except that it isn't because it's Ethel.
Yes, I see.
I think I'll wear my beige twin set instead of my red twin set, because one doesn't want to look too much like Ava Gardner during office hours,
naturally, Miss Plum.
Though, as Iris said to me yesterday, she's a scream, as Iris, when she gets going. Well, she said, when you look like Ava Gardner, that'll be the day, she said, quite spontaneous like her. Anyhow, I shall certainly pull my weight, and as Iris would say, not that I've got an awful lot of weight to...
What do you think, sir?
I've never known such a display of verbosity.
Yes, but nice ankles, don't you think?
Yes.
Now, we'll just give the verbosity time to get out of earshot, and then we'll take you over the premises. In fact, the whole thing premises to be very...
Careful, Murdoch. Yes. Now, before you open the door, make quite certain that...
And as I said, Iris said to me, she's ever so quick as Iris, she said...
It's all right, sir. The coast is clear now.
Well, splendid. Murdoch, how's Cluffett, by the way?
Cluffett, sir. Oh, in smashing form, you'll be glad to hear.
Oh, I am. Good old Cluffett. Mm. I say, Murdoch, there's a lot of offices. Surely you're not going to use all these?
Well, no, sir. I've let one or two. That one there, for instance.
Yes?
No, not that one, sir. This next one here, I've let it to the BBC.
Who?
The BBC.
Oh, well.
They hold announcers' classes in it.
Announcers' classes?
Yes, an instructor teaches the announcers how to announce and what to say in an emergency. Should we just...
Do let.
Yes.
Might have been said with a little more feeling. Now, let us try announcer standby number 4. All together now. 1, 2, 3, go.
The program which was recorded was a recorded repeat of last Wednesday's recorded program.
Excellent. Now for announcer standby number 5, a very important one, this. Ready? 1, 2, 3, go.
You've been listening to Bays for the Doze. I'm sorry, I'll repeat that.
No. More cough. Listen. You've been listening to Days Were the Does. I'm sorry, I'll repeat that. Understand?
Yes, yes, sir.
Once more, please, and this time with more cough. One, two, three, go.
You've been listening to Days Were the Does. I'll repeat that.
Splendid. Now let's turn to...
That's most impressive. They're bound to find another Hibbert among them.
Yes, sir. I expect one of them will become known as the BBC's Great Snag.
More than likely. Now, this next office here, sir, I've let to the Headliners Choir, and I think if we're lucky, we might just be in time to hear.
Was Friday morn when we set sail, and we were not far from the land. When the captain spied a lovely mermaid with a comb and a glass in her hand, a hand, a hand, with a comb and a glass in her hand.
Oh, the ocean may get old, and the stormy wind may blow, but we've got to sail away. Up, and up, and up, and the land loves the tide down below, 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 and the land loves the tide down below.
Then up spake the captain of our gallant ship, and a well-spoken man was he. I have married me a wife in Salem town, and tonight she a widow will be, and tonight she a widow will be.
Oh, the ocean may be and the stormy wind may blow, while we jolly sail the boys up and up and up, and the land of the tide down below, 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 and the land of the tide down below.
Then up spake the cook of our gallant ship, and a fat old cook was he. I care much more for me kettles and me pot than I do for the bottom of the sea, the sea, the sea, than I do for the bottom of the sea.
Oh, the ocean may blow, and the stormy wind may blow, while we jolly sail the boys were up and up and up, and the land of the tide gone below, 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 and the land of the tide gone below.
Then three times around went our gallant ship, and three times around went she. Then three times around went our gallant ship, and she sank to the bottom of the sea, the sea, the sea, and she sank to the bottom of the sea.
Oh, the ocean may blow, and the stormy wind may blow, why, we jolly sail the boys were up and up and up, and the land of the tide down below, 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 and the land of the tide down below.
Well, now, as I understand it, Miss Plump, Mr. Murdoch's been left this business. He's going to bring out a newspaper called The Weekly Bind. The first edition will be next week, and this is what he's trying to lumber me with. I've got to arrange a column each week on fashion, household hints, radio, incorporating TV, gardening, sports, city notes, and gossip. And, you know, apart from that, I've got to try and fix some news that's fit to print and fix advertisements.
Well, of course, if you really want someone to take care of the fashions, I'm very much au fait with the haute couture.
Oh. Well, aren't we all? I mean, you remember when leg of mutton sleeves came back?
Yes.
I was the bloke who took them off the ration.
Book ration?
Yes. I used to have a very chic clientele at my croin salon.
Oh, I'm sure you did. What did you call your place?
Well, I copied the name from a very smart shop I saw in Bond Street called Issy Umpole Franquet's. I think that's French for families waited on daily.
Yes, yes, I suppose it must
yes.
be.
Mind you, the fashion reporting business is not really up my alley at all. I've just been glancing through this copy of Monthly Modes. I mean, listen to this. At Glorious Goodwood, Lady Gabriel Gossage was gracefully gowned in grey-green grosgrain. I mean, all they used to say about my salon in the Croyne's Advertiser was, the most attractive model on show was an evening gown in hand-woven wire wool trimmed with coconut matting.
Good gracious. Well, don't you worry, Mr. Costa. I'll look after the fashions and household hint columns for you.
Oh, there you are, Miss Lum. I don't think you met Mr. Davenport, have you?
Oh, the Dudley Davenport?
No, his twin brother, Maurice Davenport from Denham.
No, I don't think I have had the pleasure. Oh. How do you do?
Oh, well, hello.
And this is Sam Costa.
Oh, no.
Well, I shall overlook the... But I certainly take exception to the... I can't even do it.
I say, sir, I am going to enjoy working here, you know. The whole place is absolutely lush and utterly cosmic, isn't it?
Oh, it couldn't be more deliciously septic.
What are you going to do here, Mr. Dattenpole?
Oh, well, they've asked me to improve the circulation each week by doing a strip.
Oh, be a bit chilly in the winter, won't it?
No.
As Iris said yesterday, oh, honestly, you die laughing at Iris. She said, people who live in glass houses should breathe on the windows when they get them dressed.
No, I mean a picture strip about the adventures of a handsome young detective called Dash Delaney. Here's a rough proof of the first episode, sir.
Oh, by Jove, he's got a very fine physique, this Delaney, and... Oh, the girl he's talking to is distinctly... isn't she, Murdoch?
Oh, you took the words right out of my mouth, sir.
Yes, and incidentally, there's some words coming out of her mouth.
You mean in that bubble?
That's the one, yes. Read it to us, Morris.
Oh, right, sir. Well, Dash Delaney says, what makes you think that your cousin is trying to murder you, Miss Dearlove? And Deirdre Dearlove replies,
my suspicions were aroused when he asked me to die and I found weed killer in my wine, a tarantula in my boulevard, and 998 razor blades in my new toy.
Good idea to make her say all that. It saves you having to draw anything in that bit, doesn't it?
Yes, I'm not very good at drawing chandeliers. Then Dash Delaney then says, don't worry, I'll get my supercharged sports model out and we'll go down to Grimley Grange and reconnoitre.
Oh, I see. And next week, I suppose he gets hold of an orator and wrecks it.
Costa, reconnoitre means investigate.
Oh, thank you, sir. That's another word for my vocabulary. Every week, I try to learn a new word to help me with my articles. Oh, by the way, what's the meaning of the word magnitude?
Oh, magnitude means size.
Oh, well, in that case, I shall start my short story thus. Lady Angeline rose to her dainty feet and heaved a few magnitudes.
Very appropriate. Well, now, we all have work to do. Morris, you'll want to be getting on with your next week's Dash Delaney episode, I expect.
Yes, I think I'll just dash and tear off a strip.
By the way, sir, I've been lucky in getting a gardener on the staff to run the gardening column. We've given him a little plot of land at the back of the office to work on because he's going to give gardening hints on TV.
A TV?
Yes, it's some newfangled radio thing with pictures.
You mean you can actually see what's going on?
I believe so.
And what are they going to use for entertainment?
Ah, that's the problem.
Yeah. Why?
Yes, that was another problem. As I was saying, this gardening expert of ours, Mr. Mulch...
Well, surely that's not his real name.
No, it's his nom de plume. He's got a new idea about cultivation of soil. Apparently, you spread the top of the ground with stuff called compost, which is made of rotting down practically anything you can think of.
What do you mean, anything you can think of?
Well, I can't think of anything at the moment, but... come in. Oh, hello, Mr. Mulch. How are your beans coming on?
They were all covered in black fly, but they're looking much better now.
Really?
They're covered in green fly. By the way, have you got an old left-handed Gladstone bag with a few hotel labels on it and preferably made out of stair carpet?
I'm afraid not. Do you want it for your holidays?
No, I want it for my compost heap.
By the way, sir, I thought that each week I might write a paragraph called Pleasant Thought for Today.
Sounds attractive. You've got a sample?
Well, I thought something like this. An apple tree, a newborn calf, a thrush's egg, fresh laid, a brace of clover on the wing... A loaf that's cottage-made. Some kindling wood, a lettuce crisp, ripe peaches from the tree. What does it all add up to, pray? I make it 12 and 3.
I think we can pass that, don't you, sir?
Yes.
Right, well, that's a loose yes. Now, sir, one person we must have on the paper is a radio critic.
What do you want a radio critic for?
So that we can find out whether the program you've listened to is good or not.
Yeah, but what right has one person got to decide whether a program's good or not?
That's not the point, sir. They tell you whether you should have enjoyed it.
I see. Well, I listened into Rendezvous Parade last week and thoroughly enjoyed it. Should I have?
Yes. Well, let's see, sir. Costa, read out what Leslie Kennington said about Rendezvous Parade.
Certainly, sir. Let me see. Rendezvous Parade is another example of the low ebb to which the BBC has sunk. The only laughs were the obviously rehearsed ones from the moronic studio audience.
Oh. Oh, well, in that case, I didn't enjoy it at all. Pity, because I rather enjoyed it. Well, that proves it. We must have a radio critic.
I tell you what, sir. Let's switch on the wireless and criticize it. By the way, isn't there a new show on tonight?
Oh, you mean that much binding thing? Yes, turn it on, Cotter.
Very good, sir. Though I do think it's about time we had a new set, because with this one, when you switch it on, you can't hear a thing for hours, and then all of a sudden you get...
Yes, this will be the new much-binding show. This is the chap I like so much. His big moustache comes over so well on the radio.
Isn't this a show where those two chaps always pretend they haven't seen each other before that evening? What was it they used to say?
Good morning, sir.
Good morning,
good to see you.
Good morning, Murdoch. I'm sorry I'm late. I had a puncture.
Bad luck, sir.
Bad luck, sir.
Yes, nearly threw me clean over the handlebars.
You know, the one thing I used to enjoy about much-binding was that song.
Which one was that?
Oh, you know, a little thing that goes something like this.
That much binding in the marsh.
Our latest ventures caused a great sensation. Tiddlympompom.
That much binding in the marsh. We are going to have a record circulation.
We're up to date in journalism, never lag behind.
We've got a staff that's really keen, and so we hope you'll find
the paper will be interesting and not a weekly bind.
That much binding in the marsh. That much binding in the marsh.
At learning English cost us quite tenacious.
That much binding in the marsh.
Sir, do you know the meaning of vexatious?
That's really very obvious. Vexatious, sir, do you hear?
Vexatious, yes, the Americans could make that very clear.
Vexatious won the men's singles title at Wimbledon this year.
That much binding in the marsh. That much binding in the marsh.
We're told that ladies' skirts will get much shorter.
That much binding in the marsh.
And soon they'll show a lot more than they ought to.
In sunny Spain, they must obey and cover up what's nice.
But over here, the weather we've been having will suffice
to keep the skirts below the knees and garters free from ice.
Not that much binding in the marsh. Last verse, that much binding in the marsh.
In USA, it seems, in districts rural,
that much binding in the marsh.
They've been reviving marriage in the plural.
If Mr. Horn had been a Mormon, he'd most likely say...
Now, not a word to Bessie, Flossie, Cynthia, or May.
Euphemia, Clytemnestra, Agnes, Hyacinth, and May.
At much binding in the marsh, first edition. At much binding in the marsh.
Well, more can you
say? Binding in the marsh.
First installment of Much Binding, with Richard Murdoch and Kenneth Horne, where Sam Coster, Maurice Denham as Messrs. Davenport, Marge Fine, Bubble and Ivy, Dora Bryan, Cluffett, the BBC Men's Chorus, Chorus Master Leslie Woodgate, and the BBC Variety Orchestra, conducted by Paul Fenelay. The script was by Richard Murdoch and Kenneth Horne, and the programme was produced by Leslie Bridgeport.